Welcome, everybody, to the Common Sense Show, the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we do indeed live in perilous times. And we have a really, really good show for you today. We have Susan Bradford with us, and we're going to be covering a number of issues. And she's going to present a side of Trump that you may not be aware of. And there's enough documentation behind this that I think it's worthy of consideration. And I am someone who is undecided about if there is an election in 2024, who I will support. And it's almost like, can you trust anybody? Because it almost looks like we're playing in a completely rigged game. But we're going to let Susan explore that. I think it's a side of things you need to see. And then you guys as an audience have to decide how much credibility you want to give to the various sources that both of us will present here as we go. But before we join Susan, I just want to make sure that you are aware that the food supply is being choked. I just did a show with Doug Thornton, ex-DHS, and he had a list that he showed on our TV show of 42 food processing plants from poultry to meat, mostly protein-oriented, that have been burned down. 42 since Biden's come into office. Yeah, do you believe in coincidences? You'd have to be a coincidence there. So, do you have your food? Do you have your storable food? And I'm telling you, you don't have much time because Doug told me that a lot of these food processing plants, well, they give ingredients to the storable food companies. So, you may not have a lot of time. So, there's still specials, no price increase at MPS. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And you also hear about roving blackouts. But they're being purposely obtuse about this. They're not telling you how long they're going to last. I've only seen two power companies even give an approximation of how often they're going to do it and for how long. What if it goes on for days? Where are you going to get your water? You'll have to scavenge. So we recommend water filtration for each member of your family because you might be having to transport volume. So the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter is the best in the business. You can find the research at waterwithdave.com. They, too, have not raised prices. They have a sale in effect. Here's the problem. They ran out. We stopped selling. They found some in the supply chain. They called me and said, you're the lone remaining vendor. Are you interested? And I said, yes. So I'm the only one in the world right now that's actually selling the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter. And when it's gone, it's gone. So go to waterwithdave.com. And one more thing. I just completed another deal not too long ago with Noble Gold. I have diversified as much as I can. I believe everyone should hold Bitcoin, crypto. Yes, it's bouncing back. It's not a permanent failure. Gold, silver, palladium, platinum, gold-proofing IRAs, converting some of my IRAs. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you stay in this system and digital gets a hold of us, end of the story for you. If you can be outside the system as much as possible, well, maybe you got a chance to push the monster back and hope we can somehow rebound. So I would recommend calling Noble Gold to help you diversify. 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges told you to call. Well, our guest really needs no introduction. She's been with us multiple times on both our TV and our radio shows. And Susan Bradford has a long journalistic background, and she is an impeccable journalist. Even when I find myself maybe being surprised by what she says or a position that she takes, I can never fault her documentation. And she's kind of seen life from the EU side of things. Yeah, that's right. And some things going on there that she's described in the past. She did a stint with CBS News. So she's been on the mainstream side. But you're going to find her approach to be relatively balanced, but she's not into Trump worship. I'm going to tell you that right now. And today, we're going to give you a different view of Donald Trump just for your edification. I'm not endorsing this because I don't know everything she's going to say yet. I may come away and go, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Man, I need to change all my opinions. Or I may say, I got to reconsider some of my opinions. I mean, and you'll be in the same position. But keep an open mind as we go. Susan, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Glad to be back.
Well, you've got a... we looked at a list of things that we wanted to cover, which is real typical of our guests. We'll do a lot of pre-air, give and take here about what we want to cover. But I think the place that you want to start is with Trump's former Secretary of the Interior.
Okay, thank you. And much of the material that I'm going to be discussing today, I've expounded upon in my latest book, The End of Globalism. So this kind of this book connects Trump more deeply into the deep state, where I actually show how he was a creation and an agent of the deep state. But okay, so with Ryan Zink, who was Trump's Secretary of State, I found it very interesting that after he left public office, after he left the Trump administration, he joined a company called Turn Dairy Solutions. And Turn Dairy Solutions has only a handful of clients, but among them are Microsoft and Amazon, you know, the very technocratic companies that have allegedly, you know, been menacing the conservative movement. You know, he acquired them as clients. He was also working on with businesses as an advisor that are working on harvesting and monetizing our metadata, you know, which is again another part of this, you know, wider technocratic agenda. And then I also saw that this particular firm represents the Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands, and this is a very controversial part of the world. Essentially, it fell under controversy during the Clinton administration, and that was a period in which the Clinton administration was attempting to impose federal law, federal jurisdiction upon the island for labor and minimum wage legislation. The island pushed back, the Clintons were affiliated with a firm called Milberg Weiss. Milberg Weiss was involved with Holocaust litigation, among other things, but most notoriously, the partners of this firm were indicted for paying plaintiffs to appear in class actions and for prevailing in litigation through the media. So they would use the media as a weapon, force companies and their targets to concede, and then they would extract large settlements from those targets. In the case of the CNMI, it was they waged $1 billion, I consider it a frivolous $1 billion class action against Saipan, against their garment manufacturing district. So after the manufacturers were wiped out, a team affiliated with Trump came in and established a casino called the Imperial Pacific.
What were the years on this?
Okay, so let me see. So after, I believe that Trump came in after the Abramoff investigation. So that would have been maybe after 2010, 2011, when the investigation had finally run its course. But the class action took place during the Clinton administration in the mid-1990s.
Okay, that's very helpful, because I wanted to know if that preceded his time in the White House, and significantly so. Let me just ask you kind of an off-the-cuff question here. Do you think these associations had anything to do with launching his candidacy?
Yes, I do, because these casinos are major money laundering operations for the major investment banks, for drug smuggling, for other, you know, nefarious forms of, you know, trafficking, the casinos, particularly the tribal casinos, have capitalized the merger and acquisitions departments of Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, among other major investment firms, creating the entities that have become too big to fail and which require, you know, endless government bailouts. So these are the engine, the capital generator for the global, you know, the quest for global monopoly.
Okay.
You know, to control all business. So, yes, I do.
Is this like a TPP organization? Does it usurp? Yeah, let me ask it this way. Bad question. Does it usurp national sovereignty?
Does what usurp national sovereignty?
This organization that Trump belonged to.
You mean the affiliation with the casino, or
yes? Do they exert their influence in such a way as it takes away national sovereignty?
I would say that they did. They wanted to bring this casino to the islands. The people rejected a casino. And so they, there was a very kind of, strange, there's some really strange happenings. The governor, Governor Fitial, suddenly became ensnared in a honeypot operation. I think he was accused of pedophilia after he received a massage, from a young lady. And after he was ousted, the new governor who replaced him immediately, you know, approved the casino against the wishes of the people. And I think the casino tried to kind of bribe the population by, I think if I read correctly, that they offered to pay their energy payments, like for their electricity. So there were a lot of questionable activities, and I think, you know, the people did not want this, and this was something that was railroaded through. They got it through the local, I feel the local legislature, and were able to, I guess, bring this about. But I think it was in violation of their sovereignty because the people did not want the casino there.
Okay. That makes a great deal of sense. Okay. Where do we go next with this as we're building this profile?
Okay, so very interestingly, the president and CEO of this casino is Mark Brown, who had previously worked for Sheldon Adelson, a major Trump donor, leading Zionist. He was the president and CEO of the Trump Hotel and Casino Incorporated. This particular casino panders to Chinese, communist Chinese high rollers, because the average person on the CNMI is very, very poor. Their clientele are communist Chinese. You find that serving on the board of directors fairly recently, they may have been removed since, you'll find Louis Free, who was the director of the FBI under Clinton and George W. Bush. You'll also find James Woolsey, the head of the CIA under Clinton. The golf courses were designed by Greg Norman, who was a golfing buddy of Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. who lived on Jupiter Island. Jupiter Island is a key location of the deep state. It was really established by Averell Harriman as the headquarters of the emerging national security state. This was an area that was considered to be the second White House for George W. Bush, where they planned a lot of their deep state operations. Jupiter Island is home to Les Wexner, you know, who was the head of Victoria's Secret, you know, which was implicated in the Epstein scandals. Eric Trump has a house there. And I believe when Nancy Pelosi was looking into buying real estate in Florida, there were reports that she wanted to establish or acquire property on Jupiter Island, which happens to be, you know, about five miles away from Mar-a-Lago.
And so what reason would she want to do that, in your opinion?
That's a very good question. I think that she is kind of coordinating with these people to advance the wider agenda, the takeover agenda that is being pushed by the Vatican and the City of London.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this about Nancy Pelosi. This is irrefutable, multiple sources, and I have pictures. Her association with Nieto, the most corrupt Mexican president of all time, paid $100 million by Chapo Guzman for all the obvious reasons. She is deeply tied to him. She's also tied to Chapo Guzman's wife, who's not incarcerated. This part we know. And Guzman's wife is tied to the Vatican. Does that kind of get your attention there?
Mm-hmm. It does not surprise me in the least.
Let me suggest why this might be true, and maybe some future date you'll want to go down this avenue. We, and I say we, people like Paul Preston and myself, suspect that this administration current right now, the deep state obviously behind it, will use cartel-type interests as enforcement mechanisms in exchange for being the middleman in all future drug trafficking or any other illegal or illicit service they want to do. So this is one thing that we think is coming. And this is one of the benefits of open borders. So, you know, I don't know if you've had a chance to touch that side of things or not, but when you said Nancy Pelosi, you opened up Pandora's box in my mind.
And I thought it was very interesting that Stephen Miller, who is Trump's speechwriter, and Steve Bannon were very interested in a book called The Camp of Saints, written by a Frenchman by the name of Jean Rosbaillet. And this book is a dystopian novel that depicts almost point for point the invasion of Western of Europe and the United States, you know, by this foreign invasion that is intended to lead to conquest.
Do you have any details on how that would be accomplished and who would be behind it?
I think they were. I mean, I know that the Vatican has historically used the Muslims as the invader. Like they pitted Islam against Judeo-Christian Europe as part of a divide and conquer strategy. But they talked about I believe that they were from India or from the Middle East. But these people were to come and to flood the country. The natives were to accommodate their values instead of the other way around. They were to surrender their homes to the invaders, as is happening or has happened in Germany, to give up their homes for the invader. And a lot of these people were above the law. One of the signs of that would indicate the completion of the conquest or the success of the conquest was that a foreigner, like somebody who was not of, you know, white European extraction, would marry into the British royal family. And so, of course, you had Meghan Markle, you know, marry Prince Henry, or Prince Harry, beg your pardon. So there are different, I guess, different aspects of it. Those are some of the details, but they talk about, you know, the foreign invasion from, I think, from India and the Middle East coming, flooding into Asia, taking it over, flooding into Europe and taking it over and becoming the dominant force.
Hmm. Well, that's a new one on me. India certainly has the numbers, and they are nuclear armed. Do you think they could do this on their own, or will they have help from another superpower?
I don't think they're doing this on their own. I think it's being coordinated at the top by the Vatican. You know, because ultimately, they're looking for world domination.
The same Catholic Vatican that thinks that the blending of Christianity and Islam is a good idea. They call it Chrislam. Yeah, that Vatican. Yeah.
Correct.
I think they're capable? I'm validating what you're saying through the back door. They're capable of doing anything.
Correct. And they want to erase all religions, particularly the Abrahamic faith, and merge them into a universal religion over which they would preside, you know, with the Antichrist, under the authority of the Antichrist.
Boy, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Maybe that's one of the great deceptions. Could that be the great deception in Revelation? I mean, just speculating here.
Very interesting. These elites do follow biblical prophecy. In fact, they try to coordinate and arrange for those events to happen as predicted.
Okay.
So that very well could be.
Well, let's go back to our timeline with Trump in his ascendancy here leading into the presidency.
Okay, so if we can go back to the Mariana Islands, you'll find that let me see where we were. One of the advisors to the Mariana Islands is a law firm called Dentons. Now, Dentons has recently merged with a communist Chinese company called Da Sheng, essentially transforming the two companies into the largest law firm in the world. Among the advisors to Da Sheng is Newt Gingrich, who's an advisor to Trump. Now, in order for an attorney to work in China, at least the Chinese attorney, they must take an oath to serve the Communist Chinese Party and to advance the cause of socialism. Newt Gingrich was among the individuals who worked with the Clintons to help us clear the way for Communist China's entry into the World Trade Organization. He also spearheaded the Lewinsky scandal along with Congressman Tom DeLay to push this scandal forward to essentially deflect from the more serious emerging charges with regards to treason that Bill Clinton had committed with respect to Communist China, which he was compromising our national security for Communist China. And this was part of a long-term agenda that was hatched at the end of World War II at Yalta, in which the elites had planned to elevate Communist China to preside over the New World Order while they relegated the United States to a bankrupt welfare state. And that's exactly what they're doing now. So they're pushing forward this agenda.
How old is this plot?
I mean, you could trace it back further, but it was formally launched at the end of World War II.
So at the same time they were setting up Bretton Woods, approximately, to make us the most powerful nation because making us the world reserve currency, they were also planning the demise at the same time?
They were. If you go back to Avril Harriman, Avril Harriman provided the seed money for the Skull and Bones Secret Society at Yale University through the Russell Sage Foundation. Skull and Bones was intricately involved with Yale Divinity and the OSS, which was a precursor to the CIA, the Office of Strategic Services, which was a precursor to the CIA, that mapped out China essentially for corporate takeover. They funded and they worked with Mao Zedong to lead the Communist Chinese Revolution. They helped him set up bookstores, lead the revolution, recruit communists. So essentially, you know, Communist China was created by them. George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush were members of Skull and Bones. They have promoted this agenda through their respective administrations.
This is... I'm trying to get my mind around this because this is so broad. If you were to look at the totality, just to make an educated guess, of the number of influential people coming at us from different dimensions, different organizations, how many people do you think are involved at any one time?
That's a good question. I think it could be probably the thousands, maybe the tens of thousands. What a lot of people don't realize is that the Republican Party and the conservatives were behind and have supported the rise of Communist China. You think that on the face that doesn't make any sense because conservatism supports, you know, freedom and liberty and free enterprise. But communism is a tactic that corporate America and Wall Street have used for decades to overthrow governments, to seize natural resources, and seize assets, to establish their own companies, their own people into those positions of power, so that they can monopolize those markets. So, you know, corporate America has been behind this. What you'll find is that politicians leave public office, they will become lobbyists and get business which has been frequent in many cases, that they will often work for those industries, those businesses that they regulated or that they were involved in legislation while they served in office. So, for example, David Vitter has worked who's a Republican, has a business with Communist China, which is Communist Chinese companies. And you'll find that throughout the country, a lot of these politicians have business with Communist Chinese companies. The local governments, in turn, state governments, have been compromised by Communist China and its money. And I think
you're talking about the Belt and Road Initiative.
Belt and Road Initiative, but I think there are a lot of deals that are being cut and that are being facilitated by our political classes.
Okay.
And by Wall Street.
You know, the best example you could make, I think, historically, and we're going way back in time to support your notion that corporations love communism, is Wall Street's support for the Bolshevik Revolution. It's undeniable.
That's correct.
The war bugs and all the other known entities of the day threw their full support behind the Bolsheviks.
That is correct. And also the major investment banks, the major corporations, bankroll Black Lives Matter, and its founders and leaders have identified as Marxists. That's another example.
Black Lives Matter. They do. But that organization, oh my goodness. Have you seen they're even admitting that it's not our fault that America so willingly gave us money that we could put into our own personal interests, like real estate? They're admitting to it publicly. And then yesterday, an NFL coach, Jack Del Rio, spoke out and he says, how come Black Lives Matter and Antifa get a free pass for violence in the streets and the J6 Commission is putting people in leg irons? He's probably going to lose his job over this. It's absolutely amazing that the dissident groups, and are you saying the corporations are fully behind all this? I think they are.
I think the multinationals would be, the local mom and pops would likely not be. And I think Catherine Austin Fitz had reported at one point that Black Lives Matter specifically targeted those companies that the elites wanted to eliminate. So they were targeting their competition.
Interesting.
You know, like looting their stores and so forth.
Interesting. That's really interesting. And it does fit in with other models that I'm aware of. Okay, let's continue on with the timeline.
Okay. Let's see. So you have, of course, Newt Gingrich serving as an advisor to Trump. His wife, of course, was appointed to ambassador to the Vatican, and I thought it was very interesting that within a few days after her confirmation, the first QAnon post appeared. I think the QAnon, in my opinion, I know that it was coordinated out of the White House. I believe that there was also a Vatican element to just based upon the timing and the fact that the agenda. Or that the information provided, I think, helped serve the Vatican interest. It kind of derailed, distracted, kind of neutralized patriots who had an increased growing awareness of the crimes that were being committed at the elite level.
Mm-hmm.
So they essentially neutralized those elements. Okay, would you like to go back into some of Trump's earlier involvements with casinos in Atlantic City?
Yeah.
To tie in his connection with the Bushes, if we can do that if you'd like.
Okay.
Okay. One of my sources had told me that the esoteric CIA had recruited Trump in 1988 to become a future president. In 1987, Trump had joined, he had acquired Resorts International. This was a casino in Atlantic City that, in which the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, and a fellow by the name of Tibor Rosenbaum were key investors. Tibor Rosenbaum worked closely with Meyer Lansky, who was connected very deeply with the National Crime Syndicate, and the mob. Meyer Lansky had also run assassination squads for George H.W. Bush, and he provided the seed money for the Seminole Tribe of Florida, for the casino for the Seminole Tribe of Florida. One of his groups provided that seed money. So Trump was, you know, he was kind of involved. He was compromised by the Rothschilds early on. He was indebted to them. When he began to fall into debt, Wilbur Ross appeared to reorganize his debt in a way that would allow him to retain his assets, at least to retain the appearance that he was a successful businessman, and allow him kind of to keep a stake in the business. Wilbur Ross was the bankruptcy attorney or bankruptcy advisor for the Rothschilds, a leading bankruptcy advisor, who was involved with asset stripping, corporate piracy, and the like. once Trump began to fail within Atlantic City, he moved over. He attempted to acquire a business within Indian country. And Wilbur Ross had determined that Trump was that his greatest asset was his brand. You know, he may not have been a great businessman, but he certainly was able to captivate an audience and to draw a large audience to him. So he became the spokesman, if you will, for their wider agenda. They owned him. They controlled him.
Can you define a little more clearly who they is? Is this still the Ross group?
This would be the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. Okay. He was involved with through Resorts International. He was connected to Epstein, and there is a court document that is available. I don't know whether the allegations are true or not, but Trump was accused in that court document of having raped and assaulted an underage girl.
Didn't the Democrats try to surface that?
They may have. I know a contact of mine forwarded the document to me. Okay. I wasn't aware of that if they had. But they might have.
Well, I do remember it was promoted as kind of sleazy journalism, but they wanted the public to hear it, if you know what I mean. It's kind of like you say it may not be true, and then the retraction would appear on page 17. The idea is to create the impression, and I do remember that coming out. They also had the case of the stripper along the same lines. I have no idea if these things are true or not from my perspective, but the Democrats did use this to try to smear Trump. I do remember that. Okay.
That's a possibility. I mean, there is a court document in which he was accused. So an accusation is not the same as does not mean that he committed the crime. But
true.
He was accused. The Seminole Tribe of Florida, again, was heavily was tied to the mob. You also had its financial advisor was Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch is a Bush controlled investment advisor. During the 1999 election. Bush. You know, Trump has always said that he doesn't support the Bushes. His tribal advisor for the Seminole Tribe of Florida was Greenberg Traurig. Greenberg Traurig, which has called itself the gateway to Israel, and whose Colorado correspondence address has been connected to the Council of Energy Resource Tribes, which controls trillions of dollars of natural resources for the Vatican, City of London, and Rothschilds within Indian country. So that Greenberg Traurig was Donald Trump's tribal attorney for the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Greenberg Traurig also represented Bush Cheney in their contest for Florida's electoral votes. So working along Greenberg Traurig were Roger Stone, Trump's number one lobbyist, and James Baker, who worked for the Carlyle Group, where they were trying to kind of secure the election for Trump. Once that had for Bush Cheney, once that had been accomplished, Greenberg Traurig enjoyed enormous influence with the Bush administration's Department of Justice, allowing you can say interests affiliated with him to target rival companies for asset stripping, to eliminate eliminate competition to his own casino interests, as I have documented in The End of Globalism. Trump has also stated, that he has been opposed to wars that are not in the national interest, and that he thought it was, improper for Trump to have, for Bush to have gone into Iraq. But what the records show is that a company by the name called BKSH, which Trump had retained to defend his casino interests in Atlantic City, was the leading firm that promoted the false intelligence reports that led the country into war against Iraq. So this was based upon Ahmed Chalabi, an Iraqi National Congress.
Would that be the WMD? That'd be the WMD allegations about Saddam Hussein, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Weapons of mass destruction, which were not there.
Let me play devil's advocate just for a second.
Okay.
Couldn't you do work with a firm that is doing what you just described with Iraq, but not have anything to do with that aspect of the business?
Among the partners of the firm have been Paul Manafort and Roger Stone. And, those have been a little closer.
It does pull him in a little closer, but I still wonder if it's not more guilt by association in this area. But it is interesting he'd have both the people as close advisors. That is troubling. I did not know that about Roger Stone. So he was part of the cabal that plotted the Iraq War?
He was affiliated with a company that was. And this company was acquired by Burston Marsteller, which at the time was controlled by Mark Penn, who is a senior PR and media advisor for the Clintons.
Well, that's... it's kind of like all roads lead to Rome, if you know what I'm saying. The different political and economic aspects seem to... They may be divergent, but they seem to coalesce in key areas together. And this is what you're describing here. The coming together of seemingly divergent interests for the same purpose.
That's correct. And I think you will find that, you know, you have the illusion that the left and right are working against each other. But if you widen the screen, you'll see that ultimately they're working to advance the same agenda. The Vatican has embraced a strategy, which I'm sure you're aware of, called Hegelian dialectics, also known as problem-reaction-solution, or perpetual war, perpetual revolution, which is based upon Confucianism. And the idea behind this is that you continue to sow grievances and dissent, and in so doing, you're able to create opportunities where you can acquire wealth and power for yourself. Or for the elite, and you do this generation after generation until you have amassed all of the wealth and power under within your own hands.
So it almost reminds me of overwhelming strategy used by Cloward and Piven.
It's an age old strategy that has been used by these elites.
Well, it's being used on us today. Name an area of our life. Every area of our life is being disrupted intentionally now. I mean, right from the family unit to the way the kids are taught, to the economy in various ways, to the forsaking of the military in Afghanistan. I mean, there's no shortage. I could go on and on and on. And it is complete overwhelming of the system. Let me digress just for one second. Do you believe that Biden is an agent of the WEF or some such organization, and his intention is to bring America to its knees as a lead-in to global governance?
I believe that Biden is ultimately controlled by Obama, and I think that Obama is serving that agenda.
The excellent answer. I totally 100% agree with you. You think Obama is the force behind the Biden initiatives?
Without question. And remember that Obama also, he wanted to have gas at, $5, $6, $7 a gallon in order to push through his Green New Deal. That's exactly what we're experiencing today.
Under my climate change agenda, utility rates will necessarily skyrocket. I'm sure you remember that quote from Obama.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Excellent answer. Okay, let's go back to the timeline because we've got about 13 minutes left, and I want to make sure we hit all the major points.
Okay, I'm trying to see if there's anything else that we might be able to look at. If you'd like, we can discuss some of the asset stripping that took place under the Bush administration. With Greenberg Traurig, you can say that they were in control of, or at least fairly influential with, the Bush administration. A number of companies were targeted. One was Jack Abramoff, and in his vast portfolio, Jack Abramoff was the leading Republican super lobbyist at the time. He was also Donald Trump's greatest adversary. You know, he ran circles around him within tribal gaming. The Seminole tribe, and as I've documented, took aim at Abramoff's effort to acquire the Sun Cruise fleet. I'm going to use the word allegedly here since we're talking about legal matters, but fraud was injected into his efforts, Abramoff's efforts to acquire the fleet. The fraud was allegedly, according to the court documents, arranged by a company called Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo was advised by a firm that I'm drawing a blank on the name of the firm. I have it in my paperwork, but the firm arranges and negotiates real estate deals on behalf of Wilbur Ross. So it's a Rothschild affiliated company.
This never ends.
It never ends.
It's incredible.
So once Abramoff's deal imploded in Florida, he was wiped out of the Florida market, left holding the bag for a crime that he allegedly did not commit. The Seminole tribe of Florida went on to dominate the marketplace. They tapped out one of Abramoff's clients, the Seminole, former clients, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian tribe of Michigan, which thereafter reported a $1 billion loss. Once they had removed Abramoff from the markets, the Seminole Tribe of Florida negotiated the $1 billion acquisition of the Hard Rock franchise, which with Greenberg Traurig and Merrill Lynch, you know, which is a Bush-affiliated investment firm, negotiating that deal. Carl Icahn, who's a close friend of Trump, who lives on Indian Creek Island, where I believe Trump also has a home or two. Carl Icahn acquired Trump's Taj Mahal in Atlantic City. Once Trump became president, Taj Mahal was sold to the Hard Rock, where they expected the casino to, you know, to do great things. So you can really see that a lot of these interests, you know, are working together, you know, for their own personal enrichment. The Hard Rock has also attempted to move in on the Agua Caliente band of Cahuilla Indians, another Abramoff client. There was another Abramoff client, the Louisiana Cachada, that reported a $30 million loss through a crony business deal involving an Israeli internet company. You know, that this was a deal that was finessed after the Trump Clinton McCain affiliates took control of that tribe. So within they were able to kind of push this scandal through Washington, through lobbyists. They had control and control of the media. They also used lobbyist controlled witnesses who provided false testimony within the Senate Indian Affairs Committee against Abramoff, and then afterwards, those witnesses became the leaders of the Indian tribes that Abramoff had previously owned. They, you know, promoted this scandal based upon false information, false accusations that can easily be refuted with the paperwork. But the Department of Justice, which they control, they controlled, did not look at the contrary evidence. They actually ignored the exculpatory evidence and pursued a case that was based upon bad information against a target of that was somebody who was targeted by Trump and his wider casino interests. So there are many other cases, you know, that I was able to uncover of asset stripping and so forth. And I mean, it's my contention, and I'd like to kind of look further into this. But given the connections I've seen with government, you know, the government subsidized housing has originated in Indian country, which has helped. It was given birth to the SNL scandal and provided the capital for these real estate grabs. I'm seeing kind of like a network around Donald Trump that may be behind some of the real estate scandals that we're seeing today, which, you know, BlackRock and these other Rothschild-affiliated companies are pricing people out of the market. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's exactly what BlackRock is doing. I personally think, just jump ahead as a digression, but then I want to come back to your point. BlackRock's purpose, in my opinion, is to inflate the entire housing market so Janet Yellen can induce what she told the Senate about 4 or 5 months ago, that we want unrealized income taxes on a home appreciation. It's just a way of basically driving people out of their homes by making it unaffordable. But anyway, back to BlackRock. Can you detail the connection that Trump would have with an organization like BlackRock? I mean, what do we specifically affiliate him with on the BlackRock side?
You're looking at efforts by, you know, I think you'd want to start with his connection to Wilbur Ross and the real estate deals that they've forged through Greenberg Traurig and other companies. They have been involved with asset stripping and targeting rival companies using the assets that they've acquired through those campaigns to acquire more real estate. During the Trump administration, HUD was peopled by his own allies who in turn kicked contracts over to Trump and his friends. And I believe, and you'll need to correct me on this if I'm wrong, that BlackRock has significant ties to the Rothschilds, to Saudi Arabia. Okay, and these again, you're looking at Trump allies. Trump was heavily involved with the real estate business, you know, through Section 8 housing, through government subsidized housing. I believe that he was able to bring Sean Hannity into some of these deals by way of Michael Cohen. You can correct me if I'm wrong there, but I believe it.
I don't know. I don't know enough
Sean
to comment on that.
Involved with that.
That's amazing. Sean Hannity, who would have figured? I like I said, I have no knowledge of that. So you asked me, do I know? No, I don't. But I know BlackRock is connected to the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum. They have AI that is really inducing a lot of the pain and misery economically in this country. That's actually been covered. I mean, BlackRock is openly admitting that they're seeking a complete transformation of the American economy.
Which was part of which was launched under on Donald Trump's watch. Ivanka Trump herself was a World Economic Forum young leader. She's one of their young leaders.
As is, I just want to say this again. Tulsi Gabbard, don't believe a word of a so-called pretend conservative. You know, let me digress again because we're right on the top of a topic here. Tulsi Gabbard's a false flag, and she could form a third party to pull votes away from the Republicans. She could maybe be the Democratic candidate at some point in time as a centrist moderate, but she's clearly playing a role. We also have a senatorial candidate here in Arizona, Blake Masters, who is very much Peter Thiel's boy, and he's trying to pose as a conservative Republican. He's not telling the truth. Is this an orchestrated effort to have fake Republicans run who are really Democrats?
I think at this point, you know, we have lost our government. Essentially, our federal government and the state government are government contractors who ultimately contract through the Vatican and its global trust. So they redistribute resources and money from us, from the taxpayers, to themselves, and then take that money and invest in government contracts. So the politicians are employees of those corporations. So I think whether they're Democrats or Republicans, ultimately they have to serve that agenda faithfully.
You are exactly right. If the Republicans had wanted to, they could have stopped this Democratic takedown of our economy.
Long ago, yes, they could have.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And that's why, and maybe I'm on a fool's errand, Susan, but I've called for the unelection of 95% of all Republican incumbents for this reason. And so we're speaking the same language here, but because we're kind of running out of time and we can do a Trump part two, but I want to take this to the present day.
Okay.
I want to ask a hypothetical question. It's strictly opinion. Could it be that Trump got to a position and his ego and legacy take over, and he wants to be the George Washington of America in the modern era, And so he really is representing American interests despite some questionable associations in the past. Is that possible?
Is it possible? I think I've always wanted to believe that he was serving that agenda, but ultimately he was an employee for the corporation that is the United States, which ultimately answers to the City of London and the Vatican.
Right.
I think anything is possible. And I've wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. And if it were possible, you'd have to say that he has a lot of very shady associations. The people he brought with him to the White House, he's worked with for decades, and these are the same people who are promoting, the global agenda. So you'd have to assume that he's completely oblivious to their tactics and to their agenda, which I don't believe that he was.
Good points.
Individually, he could, go ahead.
No, his appointments in many respects have been abysmal. And you can make the argument, well, you hire who you know. But if you're breaking from past associations to chart a new path for your legacy, why would you go back to the old people? So I think your point is really well taken there. Because Trump's associations have been nothing short of a disaster in many cases.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I heard a disconnect. I think one great tell for me is how he treated Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions, I know that Trump has tried to promote himself as a champion of the abuse of children who are being abused by these global elites. Jeff Sessions was the individual within the Trump administration who appointed the attorney who unsealed the Jeffrey Epstein files in New York. Once he had done so, Trump attorney and Rothschild / Epstein attorney Alan Dershowitz and his friend Mike Cernovich tried to claim credit for that unsealing, in which they had no part. Trump fired Sessions immediately after he had done so. He appointed Bill Barr in his place. Bill Barr's father appointed Jeffrey Epstein to the school. He worked for the firm that had represented Epstein in his pedophile cases, and then promptly recused himself and fired the attorney that Sessions had appointed. Once Sessions lost his job, Trump called him a disgrace when he was arguably a national hero, and then campaigned against him, preventing him from being able to return to the Senate. So I think, to me, his treatment of Sessions was a great tell of where Trump's loyalties really lied. He was protecting, in my opinion, the pedophiles over the victims of pedophilia.
Oh, I hope that's not true. The one thing I would say from what you just said, it is suspicious, but it is still a third-party relationship.
True.
Between the crime and Trump. And, we all are associated with some people, no matter how remotely, who've done some bad things that we necessarily shouldn't be held accountable for. And I'm not trying to make excuses for Trump. If it were a first-degree relationship, but I will say this, that you appointed Bill Barr, absolute joke and a disaster. I mean, that man has a horrible history of protected constitutional rights, and he's
correct.
He was a terrible attorney general, and he's still doing a disservice to the country today. We're going to have to do a part two on this. This is fascinating. Just one quick closing question. It's got to be a quick answer.
Okay.
Is Trump less dirty than the other candidates we'll have to choose from so America would be better off with him? I think economically we'd have to say yes.
That's a very good question. He is too far enmeshed within the Rothschild network and Vatican network for my liking. Mm-hmm. So he may not be personally dirty, but I think he is controlled by them.
Okay. Very quickly here, when we publish this on our website, we're going to have to publish this interview. We will put a list of documented sources that Susan put together for me. She just didn't come on here willy-nilly and say, I feel this and I feel that. She's got documentation all the way through this presentation. We got about 30 seconds, and I want people to know more about your book and how they can follow your good work.
Yes, thank you, Dave. My website is www.susanbradford.org. I've written a number of books on the deep state and most recently about Trump, you can connect to my books and to me through that website. And also, the books are also available on Amazon.
What was the book you referenced during the show? People say, what was that again, Dave? So tell us.
It's the End of Globalism, and if you're interested in learning about the details of the Abramoff investigation, you can find that information in a book called Lynched.
That's a great title, because it really is, I think, very accurate from what I know of what's going on. You've given us a lot to consider, and some people will reject this out of hand because it doesn't fit their personal narrative. Folks, I'm asking to keep an open mind. I don't know how much is true. You got to look at the documentation and decide for yourself. Susan, thank you so much for joining us. We will schedule a part two on this. It's interesting, and I think we need to consider all viewpoints. Thanks for coming on the Common Sense Show.
Thank you, David. Talk to you soon.
Take care.